Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We do stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we also rebroadcast on Sundays at 2 p.m. on a2zen.fm. That's the letter A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm. And then they're archived there as well as at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. So lots of opportunities over the weekend to listen to the program as well. And it's really, really kind of neat. I have to share with you, I'm actually very excited. I shouldn't say, if only it were caffeine-induced. It's not. It's a genuine excitement that we are, my wife and I are planning a trip in December. It's our first trip in... quick math here, 8 years. It's been 8 years since we've been in Ireland, and we are going back in December. And yes, we are going to be there on the 21st of December. And we're very excited about that because we hope to be standing inside the prehistoric mound, they call it, of Newgrange in Ireland, in the Bowen Valley. You can Google that, and you can see what that's all about. And we've been in there once before. And as a sound guy, a sound man, I have to tell you, the acoustics inside that chamber are just phenomenal. No, it's not like a cathedral. It's like perfect acoustics. There's no hollowness. It's not dead. It's like just, as Goldilocks would say, it's just right. And so anyway, we're looking forward to going back, and I will take the 15-hour plane ride through to Heathrow and then across the Irish Channel there to Ireland. And so we're very excited about it, getting a chance to meet some of the folks we've spoken with on this very program in person. And we'll even be recording a couple of interviews that will air here on this program. So it's really neat. Let me share something else with you, too. Yesterday, and I'm hoping my guest can give me some insight in this, as well as you, because we're going to open up the phone lines to talk with our special guest today, Donna Sebo, who has written a book called God's Kiss. And it is a children's book, but it's for children of all ages. Anyway, what I wanted to share with you very quickly here, I don't know, yesterday must have been a day of frustration with fuel. My wife and I pulled into a gas station in Goleta, and there were lines. And I'm guessing it was because the price was lower than most other places. But there were pumps that were not being used. And so I said, pull up into that pump. Well, of course, the attendant comes out and says, no, you can't do that. You got to get in lines and so on. I says, but these pumps aren't even being used. Well, we said, okay, we'll back out. And we pulled out and went on our way. Well, yesterday evening, as I'm going to fuel up the car, and by the way, we didn't fuel up at that point, but I went in to put $10, $20 in the tank last night, and I went into the attendant. I says, okay, I'd like to put 10 on pump 4. Well, I parked at pump 8. There was a woman there who had just processed her transaction with a debit card for pump 4. The gal I was talking with, the attendant, she voided pump 4's $15 transaction, put my $10 cash transaction in. The woman at pump 4 pumped the $10 of gas. I had to go out and apologize that I had made a big mistake. She had to do two transactions, one for 10 so that I could get pump 8 going, and 5 more for hers because she wanted $15. Everything was worked out, but it was like, what is going on with me and service stations on March the 9th? Donna Sebo, can you shed any light on that for me? I am baffled by the fact that I did get gas in the car. The woman did go on her way, but it's like, and the only connection I can think of is service stations or pumping fuel, you know, transportation, those kinds of things. Any insights there, Donna?
No, I just think it was one of those weird days.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on Tell Me Your Story. Oh, my gosh. You wrote a book. You've written a children's book called God's Kiss, and it's a beautifully illustrated actually, it's not a little book. It's one of these oversized but gorgeous illustrations, and it's also on CD as well and available through your website, Delphi International, and we certainly encourage people to check that out. We're linked to you as well. And you are, I said in our promo that I ran down a laundry list of the things that you do. Not that you are, but that you do. Okay.
There's just a few things I do.
Just a couple, you know, little things on the side. Other than that, Donna Sebo, she actually runs heavy equipment. She works for a construction company.
So, not likely. You would never want me doing something like that.
give us an insight into some of the various things. I mean, you're a teacher, you're an intuitive, you're obviously an author, you're a lecturer, you have your own radio program on the internet. You've diversified almost beyond diversification. I mean, I'm barely able to handle the two or three tasks, and we try not to multitask here, I want you to know, because we feel that the quality of the work suffers. So give us a little insight into not necessarily a day in the life, but just some of the things that you've added to your resume, if you will.
Well, my background, when I look at it, it doesn't seem to be that diversified, but I'm a minister. I've never, ever wanted to have a church, so I decided that I wanted to be able to reach people through media, and that opened up to me because of some friends that said, gee whiz, you ought to be on radio, you ought to be on television, and that started many years ago. In fact, I was living in California at the time, and what evolved out of that is that I really enjoy the teaching aspect about the abilities and skills of mind that everyone is born with. Some have lesser capabilities, others have superior, and there's everything in between. And then also I found that I really enjoy organizing and putting together classes. This is something I've not done for a number of years. I did it quite a bit in, I'd say, the middle to late 80s, and then I got very much involved with my children's book and starting radio programming and that type of thing. And I would travel and I'd do speaking engagements, and all of it is very comfortable for me. But just recently, I have started a quantum mind class, and I have a associate who has just a tremendous background in Chinese medicine and also in feng shui, so we've started some classes. I organized the whole thing, put it together, and it has been absolutely a joy doing it because I'm able to interact with people. I write. I have my monthly newsletter I put out, and then I'm working on some other things. I love to record. I love to do studio work. And then my five-day-a-week show, that is something that I don't know why I'm so fortunate that it's very comfortable for me to do a daily show, but I interview about 250 people, 220 to 250 people a year, and that also includes my actually reviewing and reading 400 to 600 publications a year, not including videos, CDs, and various magazines, because you have to fill your time if you have guests that for some reason didn't show up, which happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really love it. I find that in doing the daily radio show, because of the diversity of people that I have, in the 11 years that I've had my own show, I would say my educational level has just exploded. And the reason is we have so many wonderful people who have found their little niche, if you will, and they write a book or they put together a DVD or they're a musician that is performing or someone's a sound expert or a musical therapy expert. You have all of these people that have these wonderful talents, and I just feel so fortunate that I have been able to, one, read the material, two, be able to bring them to the awareness of people when they tune into the show, and four, to look at all the different paradigms that are out there. It really makes one aware that you should not put life in a box. There are so many different perspectives, observations, areas of knowledge, whether it's in health, whether it is in levels of learning, development of the brain, anything and everything is out there. I mean, I've interviewed mechanics. It's fascinating stuff. And I'm just so grateful that we have all of these wonderfully talented people that have taken the time in their busy lives to put together a book, a DVD, a CD, something that expresses who they are. And I really am amazed at the amount of talent and good people we have. So I do that. The classes have been the latest addition. I am doing more public speaking, which I thoroughly enjoy. I put together a women's forum for a local women's show. We just had that last week, and I get some wonderful speakers. We just have a great time. And I guess someone described me sort of as a super mature energizer bunny. Not on steroids, but getting close.
Well, I know that, on top of all of that, you not only conduct interviews, but you are interviewed, obviously,
yes,
on this program, yes, and others. And I'm wondering what it is that so attracts you to this. I'm going to use the very, very generic term of this genre, because there are a lot of people on the outside looking in who go, it's a lot of hokum, it's woo-woo, it's this, it's that. I saw a commercial on television just the other day that started out. I thought this was a promo for a movie at first. I don't even remember what the product was. That's how good the advertising was. But they focused on 2012,
mm-hmm,
and December 21st,
mm-hmm,
and that the Mayans didn't have it right or whatever. That was askew, that, and so forth. But it was for a product or service. I can't remember if it was insurance or investing, what have you. But it's kind of maybe I think that's what it was, investing, because it talked about retirement. It says, well, if the world does come to an end, then what we're here to tell you about means nothing. However, we think the Mayans have it wrong and that you need to prepare. And that seems to be a huge, it's almost like at one point it was real serious, end of the world, destruction, 97% of the population wiped out, blah, 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 blah. Now it's, let's poke fun. Let's have a little levity, which I'm not opposed to, and I wasn't offended by this particular commercial. But it seems we do seem to go from one extreme to the other when it comes to certain events. I still remember in the 80s, the harmonic convergence, mm-hmm, that whole a few years that went on. Y2K is not, I don't consider that under the same category as what we're talking about here. But again, we seem to do that when we hear about these astrological or astronomical events that are happening that may or may not affect us in a certain way. What insight do you have? Are we getting any better? Are we moving through those kinds of phases quicker so that we can get down to what is really important in these events, or have we not learned yet?
I would say it depends on the generation. Now, this is going to be an answer that maybe your listeners would be a bit surprised with. I think people that have lived a little bit longer have the awareness that there are things that you can't control. And if the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012, well, just have your glass of champagne and chocolates and enjoy. That is one way of doing it. But I think what is affected is the younger generations, because they do not have the wisdom of experience nor the understanding that life is constantly reinventing itself, constantly recycling. And we are in a fascinating period, I feel, because on one hand, to the best of our recorded history, we are living in a very disruptive period, especially when it comes to technology. The shifts and changes are moving at a speed that used to take in previous generations maybe a few hundred years, so people would have a chance to adapt. That's not the case today. Today, things move with a speed on multiple levels that is very unsettling. It's unsettling because you don't have much of a chance to adjust. So when people come out with these perceptions of doomsday, sometimes it really is a gimmick. Sometimes they have this positioning Oh, it has to be this way. Many times it is misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real level of ignorance. And when you ask the question, why am I so dedicated to this genre? Why is it that radio is so significant to me, even more so than television? It's because it gives me an opportunity to educate. It gives me an opportunity to be able to be a spokesperson for knowledge and understanding that I have acquired in my lifetime of experience and am still acquiring. You never mm-hmm. get there. It's always a process. You're always learning something new, hopefully. And it's important for me in this media environment to represent my understanding in a way that's going to give clarity to people, that's going to help them to realize that they don't have to be stuck within certain mental perceptions. Most people are not aware. In fact, I was discussing this with a client today. Most people are not aware that maybe they were born in the deep south of the United States, and they have particular belief systems. Well, they were born into an environment that they grew up in that had those systems in place. It was part of the survival package, the cultural package, the religious package, whatever you want to call it. They came into that environment. So as you grow up, maybe you find in your 20s, you're saying, I don't know why, this just doesn't feel comfortable, but you have subconsciously absorbed certain paradigms. Growing into adulthood, if you are a thinker, you're going to want to explore different avenues. Why is it something just doesn't feel right to you? Why do you have certain habit patterns? Why do you follow certain things? Why is it you get stressed over certain particular environments? It has nothing whatsoever to do with you. I'll give you an example. I'll digress for just a minute. Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, and he wrote an original book called The Law of Success, which I just cherish. It's in my library. I recommend it to anyone. Mm-hmm. That's where he got Think and Grow Rich. He extrapolated it from this masterpiece that he put together. And Napoleon Hill related an experience that really resonated with me. He was at a speaking engagement. And when he was at this speaking engagement, a gentleman came up to him after he had finished his talk, congratulating him and telling him how much he enjoyed him and was just nothing but complimentary. Well, as is typically, Napoleon Hill extended his hand for a handshake. This gentleman extended his hand. The next thing Napoleon Hill knows, he refuses to shake the man's hand, looked at the guy straight in the eye, didn't say anything, turned his back on him, and walked out the room.
Hmm.
Now, Napoleon Hill is and was a very, very gracious man. And he had a great deal of respect for people. He got back to his hotel room, and he couldn't understand. Why did he do what he did? The man had not insulted him. There was nothing, nothing in this man's behavior to justify his rudeness. So he really had to get present with where he was. And he ran a replay of everything that he had experienced with this stranger that he had left standing with a very perplexed look on his face. And he had to run through. He said, what happened? This is not in my behavior. What happened? That I went out on an automatic response, and I have no clue why. It finally came to his conscious memory. And it was when he was reaching to shake the man's hand, he noticed a ring on the man's hand, which was the ring, I believe, of a mason. I'm not sure, but it was an organization ring. He recognized that. His father, he said he finally figured out what happened. His father had hated anyone that was associated with the Masons. Had taught him when he was a kid. Now, this was a long time ago. Should have nothing to do with anybody that was associated. If he saw the Mason medallion, don't trust people, blah, blah, blah. And he realized what had happened was a subconscious programming that he had absolutely had no conscious memory of. And he said, this poor man that I was so rude to brought a lesson to me on how many times we program ourselves in automatic response. And he wasn't able to go back and to apologize to the man, but he included the story in his book. And he said, we are governed so many times on a subconscious level, whether it is religious, whether it is with the family, whether it is with a culture, whether it is anything. And it may not be appropriate at all, and it may not represent you. And he said it taught him a very, very vivid lesson that he had to be mindfully attentive to his behaviors and his reactions to things because many times it came out of habit. So many times when I'm speaking publicly, or I'm in front of business groups, or I'm doing a show like I'm doing with you, when I do demonstrations of my mind skills, or I'm discussing anything that has to do with what is categorized at this time in history as paranormal, beyond what most of us experience on a daily basis, it is very important to me to be able to speak in a language that is understandable.
Yes.
Because if you don't, it does sound like woo-woo. And I can't tell you how many people I've encountered through the years that by the time they get through their verbal loop-de-loops, you're dizzy. And many times people have these perceptions because they've been indoctrinated. They don't understand, just like Napoleon Hill. Until he became mindfully present and had an experience that brought something to his attention, he just didn't realize it.
Yeah. Well, I can relate very two quick things here. One is I went through some personal growth and development programs back in the 80s, and when I would sit in the room for the very first evening, I would start looking around the room at the various people, and I would start making judgments. I don't want to associate with that person or this person. It was the people that I, at that moment, wanted to stay away from, I became closest to by the end of the 5 days, which was a really, really an eye-opener for me. And so that's to say the very least, something that we need to take a look at. What we need to also do is we need to take a break here. We're going to talk with Beth McDonald in just a moment. Donna, people can go to your website, which is DelphiInternational.com.
Correct.
And they can take a look at the myriad of services, if you will, be they through print or audio, through the radio program, etc., to get in touch with you as well. Again, DelphiInternational.com. And we're going to come back, talk more with you, and we're going to open up the phone lines when we come back as well so that people can talk with my guest, Donna Sebo. She is with us for the entire hour here on the program. So if you want to get your dialing finger ready, it'll be about 5, 6, 7 minutes. And it's 805-564-1290 locally here on the Central Coast, 805-564-1290. Or you can try, if you're listening on the stream, on the internet, it is 866-564-1290, 866-564-1290. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Professional glassblower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can design and create a custom piece for you, your home, or your business. And here's all you need to do.
All I need to know is the colors of your house. I'll take it from there. I can make your salad bowl, your plates, your drinking glasses, your wine glasses, your pitcher, cups, and a chandelier to finish it up. And they will look really beautiful on your table. And obviously, we gotta have the right sizes. Send me the metalwork, the hardware, where it's gonna sit. I mean, I have dedicated thousands and thousands of hours. I've been playing with the glass for 21 years. I specialize in antiques. That's my forte.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, two blocks from Miltos in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a man hold right now until they go, and they'll go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
I'm still trying to understand what in the world happened yesterday. Beth McDonald, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. I don't know. Did you hear the front of the program when I was describing what happened yesterday?
I did not.
Well, suffice it to say that I had two rather strange incidents at two different gas stations. It was just...
surreal, sounds like.
Well, it was. And I'm thinking, why is this happening? And the only ties that I could put together were as far as similarities to the two incidents, one early afternoon, pardon me, and one in the evening, was that it happened at a gas station. Transportation, fuel, it had nothing to do with currency because, you know, we didn't get that far in the first situation. And so forth. So I don't know. I'll have to consult the Oracle or something later on and tell me something about, we're doing a series of segments here over the course of the astrological signs about them. And we're into Pisces right now, and it's not the fish. It's the two fish,
the fishies
in the sea.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Pisces and where we left off last week.
Well, last time you had asked me if there were two fish in the constellation, and I didn't know, but I was pretty sure, but not wanting to speak out of turn, I said I'd look it up, and I did. And, you know, one of the most interesting things about this job for me is looking at the actual constellations of stars in the sky. And sometimes, to me, in my eye, they have the loosest of all possible bearings on the current interpretations. And this is one of them. This is one of them. There's definitely two fish in the constellation, and they are tethered together. And according to one source, the ancient Babylonians actually called the two fish, the definition for Pisces was the tails, because it visualized two fish swimming in converging streams of water rather than in opposite directions.
Which sometimes our lives are like that. One moment we're going one way, and the next moment we're going the other.
Due to late breaking news, changes, yeah. Changing in response to situations. And so as an astrologer, the thing that I always bring that back to is that, we are really multifaceted beings, and the two swimming fish of Pisces reflect that. In particular, Pisces is one of the more relational signs. It really wants to connect with other people, but there's a certain degree of freedom that you give up in the connection process. The more connected you are, the more freedom you surrender. And so, part of the real metaphor of Pisces is finding that balance with all these different relationships between, how connected do I want to be, and how much am I willing to give up to get that?
Interesting.
Or how much freedom do I want? I was working with a gal last night with the Pisces rising who very much wants to be free from a certain job situation, but she really needs to not be free of the income.
Right.
So there's always a process that we go through in weighing those things out.
But I also have to wonder, too, and using that as the example,
yes,
that it's not so much the job situation as much as it is the situation, that the job is fine.
The actual work.
The actual work
it's
is fine.
The relating and the relationships.
And And what what I have both experienced
and witnessed
is a person goes from job A to B to C to D to E to F and G.
Right.
Every single one of those jobs had the same situation. I'm sitting here going, hello, do you not understand that until you deal with the issue, which is, yes, it is me, it is you, you're carrying it with you.
Yeah, it's the same thing we do in our marriages.
Yeah.
It's literally it's been common pop culture knowledge for a long time that whatever unresolved family of origin issues you have, you will carry into your marriage and act out, and the marriage is actually supposed to be the vehicle that you use to heal those things.
Yeah.
Well, we do the same things in our job. Mm. You know, we'll create the same family dynamic. You know, we'll create the same role. If we were the scapegoat in our family of origin, we'll be the scapegoat in the office.
Yeah.
And so it's important to understand those things.
And to get further understanding, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, 963-0842. I'm sorry, but look at that, 0842. It's a backwards question mark. If you have questions,
call me.
Get in touch with Beth McDonald. And we will talk further about Pisces. What is our next transition? When is our next transition?
Well, our next transition is about the 20th of March when we move from Pisces into Aries.
So we still have another week
Another week or so.
All right. So we'll talk more about Pisces.
Next
Great.
Time.
And how to catch the fishes.
How to catch those fishes.
Fantastic. Beth McDonald, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. This is Tell Me Your Story. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip to burn fat. Wake up and work out. Here's a powerful way to burn fat quickly in the morning. As soon as you wake up in the morning, work out for at least 30 minutes to an hour. Studies have shown that working out in the morning has been shown to burn up to 3 times more fat as opposed to working out at any other time during the day. An elevated metabolism throughout the day only means that you'll burn more calories and lose more weight. So on your morning checklist, work out for at least 30 minutes after waking up in the morning and eat a healthy breakfast. Morning exercisers stay with it. Studies have shown that people who exercise in the morning are more likely to still be exercising 1 year later when compared to those who exercise at other times during the day. And morning exercisers have more energy. Although initially you may have to drag yourself out of bed in the morning to exercise, it's worth it. You'll have more energy at work and energy to take care of the kids.
And morning exercisers sleep better. Exercising in the morning will help you sleep better at night, since you hopefully are sleeping earlier to get up earlier. This way you'll follow your natural sleep cycle. And morning exercisers eat healthier. Getting up early to exercise creates a mindset of doing something positive and healthy, so you'll probably eat healthier. And morning exercisers are in a better mood. Exercising in the morning creates a positive, happy mood, and your mind will feel clear and calm. That great feeling can last all day after a morning workout. Please start an exercise program in the morning and enjoy the many life-changing benefits.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday and Sunday and any other day of the week that you want to go to the archives page at richarddugan.com and listen to, on the radio show's page, any of the, Lord have mercy, I don't even know how many. I know that I do a mathematical equation of 52 times, that's 4.5, or 52 times 4 plus a few extras. So it's got to be close to 200 or 300. It's just absolutely astounding. My guest today is Donna Sebo, and she has a wonderful little book here. I keep calling it Little Donna. God's Kiss, and it is available through your website as well. A wonderful little book. It's also on CD and beautifully illustrated. I like this. Mrs. Sebo's Classic Fables. It's, of course, dedicated to children of all ages throughout the world. Dreams are wisdom. into another world. And I've often used the analogy, Donna, of these programs and interviewing folks such as yourself, that it's like Christmas. I get every week to open up a new package. I don't know what's in it. I don't, you know, I have no clue. And that's kind of the way Christmas is supposed to be. You're not supposed to peek. And I get to go into a whole new world. Your world. And
boy, I can really relate to that.
Yeah. And it's I think that's part of it. And I've made the comment before. I went to the Larry King School of Broadcasting because he never really prepared. I mean, he had good questions, but he wanted to be as fresh as his callers when he was taking phone calls. And I kind of feel the same way. I want to ask you about education. You talked about your education is just ongoing, and you have learned so much.
Yes.
And of course, there's an inordinate amount of criticism of the U.S. educational system. Every other country in the world is so far beyond us. It is just unbelievable that there are people graduating from high school, going to university, who do not know how to read. People
That's
going
true.
Into freshman year of high school from eighth grade, junior high, or elementary school, who do not know how to read. And that's just one element. They don't know how to problem solve. They don't know how to do basic math. And yet, somehow, some way, some magic has happened, and they have magically been able to move from one grade to the next.
Well, I think that any person that has a yearn of or has curiosity. My husband has often said to me that he's never known any other human being, any professor, that has read and has been able to have exposure to as much diversity as I have. Well, from the time I was a little girl, books were always special to me. I learned to read before, I think I was before I was 4 years old or somewhere in that general vicinity, and I don't even remember how that came about, but I just have this passion for reading. I always have. So I think there are those people that, through schooling, if they're not given good training and if they're not started at a relatively young age, then their skills just can't improve, because it is a known fact that rarely will people's skills, when it comes to reading, truly improve as they get older if they don't learn it when they're younger. I think the Danes are just so far ahead in their educational training, just in my observation, that it's just phenomenal. They just rate so high on so many levels of learning. But learning is something that's ongoing. Our educational institutions have become very much like bureaucracies. And I don't care what county, what city, where you go. It is a system that really has forgotten the original meaning of the education. And I think that there are a lot of very sincere people, hard-working people, people who absolutely have a passion for teaching that are very dedicated. I think a lot of others are not of that dispositioning. And so somehow or another, we're going to have to make some adjustments, whether it's something like charter schools or whatever you want to do. There's going to be some options that are going to have to come about, because a lot of people are very, very concerned. And that's necessary to have change. But I think even if you go to college, a lot of the colleges, many students that I've talked with through the years, I've found that they really get frustrated. They pay sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars to get an education, and they get certain particulars, but they're not taught to do what you say, problem solving. They walk out of a college, they've got this degree that has cost phenomenal amounts of money. And even if they were a student, they can't get a job. They are not able to function in everyday life. Yeah. There's not been a preparation for that. So it's up to the individual. It really is up to the individual. Nobody forces me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and to review approximately 2-3 books a day. Nobody does this. I do it. So people have to understand their responsibility as adults is to be open to learning, be willing to learn, and to go forward with it, because it empowers you to not only be able to communicate more effectively with other people, But it also makes you aware that sometimes you think you know it all, and you, honest to God, know just a smidgen of nothing.
Well, I've used the analogy when it comes to science and the laws of the universe. Just for the sake of argument here, Donna, there are 10 billion laws of the universe. Man's discovered 10 and says, we know it all. And see, I'm still struggling because you use and we want to talk a little bit about quantum mind as well, but you use the word quantum. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I did the basics of science in grade school and high school. I got through biology and the sciences. I memorized in eighth grade the periodic table as it was then. It's bigger now, I understand. So science is discovering another one. Now that we have 11, now we have it all. But they're using the word quantum, and I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. What happened with physics? Why is it now quantum physics? If physics is physics. I mean, from my perspective as an unlearned person in that area of education. But it just seems to me that there's something else that's missing from the process and not just education. And unfortunately, maybe I don't know if it's in the right or wrong way or appropriate, but that intuition that each of us has. I mean, you talk about educating ourselves outside of the institution, it happens. But there's a difference between you and I, Donna, saying to a challenge, it can't be done versus, let me think about that. Maybe we can make this happen, but I need to think about it a little bit. I tell everybody here, there's always a workaround.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I necessarily consciously say that there's always a workaround, that I don't use the phrase, it can't be done. It's usually, give me a few minutes and I'll see if I can't come up with something. And if I can, I'm going to start research. I'm going to find other people.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key. One of the things that I feel is extremely empowering, and you cannot be aware of this unless you have a level of experience and education. And it usually takes a combination of the two. But if I were to go out and to try to work on my automobile out in the driveway because there's an oil leak, it would be a disaster. I would not even have a clue. My mechanical capabilities are not number one on the Richter scale. So even if I went to school, even if I had all of the mechanical education, I probably still would be a disaster when it comes to that. That is not my strength. My skills are in the area of mind in a different way. And it's not bad that I don't know mechanics, because then I can go to someone that is really good at it and say, gee, can you fix this? And if they're really good, they do.
Mm.
Or they'll tell me why they are not able to do it. Or maybe I need a new part. But if you don't know how to ask the questions, and that's something that I try to get across to people, I can remember experiences in my life where I didn't know the choices that were available to me. And I had been taught at a young age, as a woman, I was not to be, as a child, female child, you were not to question that certain people knew it all, and if they said green was puce brown, that's the way it was. You do not question. And I have had, through many years of my life, had to overcome and find my own voice so that I would question. And I found lots of these people that were supposed to know it all really knew a heck of a lot less than I did. And it was a learning process. But if you are in a situation, if your world has been confined, if you grew up in a particular culture, if you were indoctrinated in a certain way, when you start stepping away from these things, then you realize, oh my goodness, there is this world I never knew existed, and that should make one excited.
Well, it goes right into our taglines here, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices. If you don't know that there's a fork in the road and that you could actually have gone down the left fork because the fog is too thick and you stay to the right because that's what you were told you should do, always stay to the right, rain or shine.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the fog lifts and you're going, wait a minute, they never told me that there was a road that went off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw, and so they go off to the left and adventure time. That's what that's what the reading in particular of like the classics, listening to a diversity of music and other materials, having a wide and varied experiential life instead of just, you know, the treadmill, 9 to 5, go home, dinner, TV, sleep, wake up, teeth, shower, shave, work, come home, and so on and so forth. That, you know, and so this raises the question that I've asked many of my guests, Donna. You've read them, many of the great ancient wisdom teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Was man created just for the treadmill?
Well, I think the answer is obvious. No. The sad thing is that we have so many people that seem to think, yes, man is made for the treadmill. And the treadmill is a very good example because to me it's like a hamster's wheel. You're not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're just stationary. That's where you are. And there are many people in the world who, dependent on financial positioning, whatever it is going on with their egos, etc., do not want the average person to think. They do not want the individual to be educated enough so that they can determine options for themselves, so that they can be problem solvers. And that's where I think many people need to say, what are the facts? They need to question. They need to ask when they go to their doctor, you're recommending a medication. What are the side effects? What other options do we have to work with? If someone says, I'm sorry, I don't get into anything else like that, I'm a Western doctor, this is all I do, you want to get up out of that chair and you want to move as fast as you can, trying to find someone else that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
People get into their, what I call their little ivory towers, and we see it across the board. It can be in any modality. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mistake. And I believe it's a mistake, and it's because of my experience I say this. I have met so many people that said, this is the absolute, absolute, no other chance. And I go, no, that doesn't work, because I've seen this. I find that life is a rainbow, not a black and a white.
Mm-hmm.
I see, if you say it's gray, well, I know that there's a gazillion shades of gray. So it's very important to challenge, and that's not an easy thing when we have been indoctrinated to do otherwise. I don't care if it's a government. I don't care if it's a church leader.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a community leader. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to challenge. And you don't have to be obnoxious.
No, no,
no. You need to question and say, I need to find out something.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised at what actually evolves.
Well, when I started asking the hard questions of religion and faith and spirituality back in the 80s, in the early part of what I called my search, I was working for a Christian station, and they would say, go read the writings of the Founding Fathers, because they asked the same questions. And I came back with more questions like, well, wait a minute, who set them up as the arbiters of the faith? And if I'm asking these questions and I've never heard of these guys you want me to go read, then doesn't that put me in the same category as them?
Mm-hmm.
They were curious, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious too, but I don't necessarily want to buy into the absolute that this is the way it is and there is no... Well, for example, I'll give you a case in point. I did not read this, but I'd heard from a newscast that the minister, because you mentioned religious leaders, the minister Pat Robertson allegedly has reversed himself on marijuana and the drug war,
mm-hmm.
saying, let's legalize it. The drug war is just costing us money. Let's end this business and just tax the daylights out of marijuana. And I'm sitting here going, huh, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why? That blew me away. I'm going, are you kidding? I mean, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with him. I'm just sitting here going, that is a huge shift
mm-hmm.
for a person in his position of his belief to make. To me, that's quite astounding. And who knows? I mean, that stranger and more miraculous things have happened in this world. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you, who is Donna Sebo?
Donna Sebo is a woman who is always exploring. Donna Sebo is a woman who finds life an exciting adventure, opening up to new modalities almost every day. Donna Sebo is a woman who is tremendously dedicated to being able to empower people whether it is through a radio show, television appearance, speaking, to seek out and to enjoy the process of living and the adventures that life presents us, good, bad, or indifferent. Because it is only through being present with where you are and asking questions and being aware that you have the right of choice. It's not going to be easy. Nobody goes through life with, you know, silver spoons in their mouths and beautiful fragrances of wonderful whatevers.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a tough proposition. It's hard. It is very hard. Sometimes you're going to be lonely. Sometimes you're going to be impoverished. Sometimes you're going to have so much money that you're terrified that somebody's going to steal it from you. I mean, there's all kinds of variables,
mm-hmm.
anything and everything. But Donna Sebo is a woman that really, really has a great sense of satisfaction in thinking and knowing that maybe just this little tiny bit of space that I occupy in this phenomenal universe we live in, that maybe I can make a difference and make somebody else's life brighter and richer because of what I've learned.
And to that, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve with the work that you're doing?
What I would want to achieve with the work that I'm doing is to be able to encourage others to take whatever I share with them and go further with it. I believe that anyone who is a real good teacher will always give the best of whatever they know, but they want those that they share their information with to surpass them a million times over, because life is about transferring your knowledge and your wisdom to others. And if you're fortunate enough, where you have exposure like an Oprah Winfrey, where millions watch you and you can be an inspiration, that has a ripple effect. And the biggest enemy, we have three huge enemies in life.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance, superstition, and the granddaddy of them all, fear.
Mm-hmm.
They are three companions that keep us company in our lives. And if we do not fight those enemies, then the enemies of life on other levels will divide and conquer us in ways we could never have imagined. So it behooves us, and I as a teacher, as a broadcaster, as a counselor, as a minister, I really want to feel that in my way I can plant little seeds that encourages people, mm-hmm. no matter what their background is, to move forward with the greatness that's really inside them and to just, wow, surpass anything I could possibly do.
And by the way, I've seen her business card. It's an 8x10. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure to have you here. And again, I encourage people to go to DelphiInternational.com. We're linked to it on RichardDugan.com, the radio show's page. When this program is over, this program goes into the archives, and that link goes to your website, Donna. And again, thank you so much. It's been great having you on the program, and we will have you back again.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a joy and a wonderful weekend to all of you who are listening.
And we're going to wrap up this program by telling you that this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I am Richard Dugan, your host, and I encourage you to join me every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, archive at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, rebroadcast at a2zen.fm. That's a2zen.fm. Until next Saturday at this time, love to Lal.